I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right, welcome to the Tuesday, September 3rd edition. This is Cooper Welch here with my co-host, Taylor Phelps. We've got a special guest in the studio today, Athletic Director Ryan Ivey of the A&M Commerce Lions. And we're going to talk to him and do our weekly Look at the Lions segment. We've also got a lot of other stuff planned for the show today. We're looking at the Rangers. We're going to talk a lot of preseason and regular season Cowboys action. And we're going to finish up the show talking about who else, Johnny Football, and some other college football action. But first, let's talk with Athletic Director Ivey about Look at the Lions today. So first, the Lions kick off the 2013 season on Saturday at 6 p.m. against the Sol Ross State Lobos. So just tell us a little bit about the Lobos, whatever
you know. Sure, absolutely. First of all, appreciate you guys having us on. We certainly appreciate your support that you guys have given us. And, you know, we're excited about the season coming up. I think it's I was telling somebody the other day, I feel like I've been here 4 years and we haven't played a football game yet. And so I'm excited to get it going and finally get a fall under us and see how things go. I know the coaching staff is as well, and the players especially are. I think they're ready to go. They've had an outstanding camp so far. So, you know, it's been great to see the way that they've come to work and really their preparation and everything leading up. But kind of getting to Sol Ross, you know, what I know about Sol Ross is probably what you know about Sol Ross. It's kind of what we read, to be honest with you. Yeah. They've lost a lot of offensive players. They haven't had an explosive offense last year. Mm-hmm. I think amassing something over 5,500 yards total in offense. And they've got a brand new head coach. They've got a brand new athletic director. They're very similar to us in a lot of aspects. Obviously, their record last year, I think they were 5-5 overall. Looks like 4-3 in the league. They play in a quality league, Division III league in American Southwest, which is what East Texas Baptist plays in. So a quality football league. And, you know, they're going to come in and give us a test. There's no question about it. And I think our guys are ready. I think they've been preparing for this. And it's going to be a fun matchup. I don't think it's going to be one of those, you know, 6-3 matchups. I'd be surprised if it's not, you know 48-30, getting in upwards to, 100 points scored total. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of explosion. So we certainly hope people come out.
So I think we know a lot of the Division I level, the importance of that first game, because you're playing, let's say, okay, Georgia lost their first game. Mm-hmm. They may not make the national championship because of the first game. We're in Division II, we have playoffs, so Absolutely. It's not necessarily like that. But how important do you think this first game, especially against a Division III opponent, is for, you know, Coach Carthel and the Lions and all of our athletics?
Well, I think it's real important, for one, because it sets a tone. Mm-hmm. And two, I think it's, football, just like in basketball, whatever else, the next game is always the most important game, and that's kind of what it is here. This is what's going to kind of get us started and get our season going. I would be sitting here lying to you to tell you that it's not real important for us to get off on a good foot. We need to get that confidence under, the confidence that we have right now coming out of camp. And if we can kind of keep that momentum going, the things that we have going, I think it's going to help build us going into Arlington the following week and then help build us, throughout the year. Because, football is like every other sport that you play. The more confidence you have, mm-hmm. the better you play and the better off you end up. Whether you feel like maybe we're not the most talented team overall, but if we get some confidence behind us, we're going to get rolling. And I think at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
All right. Well, we've talked a little bit about the Lions last week, and I know just us by ourselves did the game-by-game preview. But let's just talk a little bit about them and what you know about the team. First, Coach Carthel was brought from West Texas A&M, where he was the defensive coordinator. What kind of changes has he implemented since the turnover this last year?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is just looking at the culture as a whole.
Okay.
I think when we say that, you hear a lot of new coaches say that, we're going to change the culture, we're going to change – if you want to go back to remember the Titans, we're going to change the way we do things. We're going to change the way we eat. We're going to change the way we sleep. Mm-hmm. We're going to change the way, and that's what that was what it was about for those guys, is changing the way that we did things from practicing, learning how to practice, because it's very important, especially in the game of football, that you learn how to practice properly. It's not just going out there and busting heads all the time. Okay. It's learning how to practice and learning how to prepare. It's learning how to, you know, when you're engaging in defensive techniques and those type of things, it's not going down low. It's not cutting off knees. It's really, it's cutting down on injuries during practice, because those are the things that will get you beat later on in the season, is when you do something stupid in practice and it knocks out an offensive lineman or knocks out a running back or something, because you do something stupid and you're not being smart and not really knowing how to practice. So being able to practice like champions, doing those things. And I think that's something that he's brought in from the very beginning, is we're going to act like champions. We're going to act like champions on the field, off the field, in the classroom, in the community. And he's really kind of changed that whole mindset and culture. And I think the players have bought into it. I mean, you've probably seen them around more than I have. But, you know, I think they've really bought into it. I think there's just a new atmosphere around this football
team. And I feel like most of the athletic programs, I feel like that's feeding into other athletic programs too. And, you know, it's a culture like you talk about. It's not just one team. It's really becoming like a whole campus-wide thing. And I see a lot of support from just regular students on campus for the football team. And there's a lot of hype. But, you know, if we can't fail, we can't let that hype, you know, die out in the first few weeks. So that's why I think those wins are real important. And like you said, we need to get on a roll going into Cowboys Stadium, because that's a huge game just because of the media attention surrounding that.
Well, that's a big game for us, you know, kind of looking forward. I mean, Delta State is a very, very good perennial Division II football program who has been in national championships, won a national championships. And if we can get some confidence behind us, get a good quality win against Sol Ross and kind of go into that game, and that's certainly going to help us. And if we can beat them, and then if we're undefeated going into Canyon, Texas, Lord help us, that is going to be an atmosphere out there.
Oh, it will be.
You know, it's already going to be.
It's already
something
be
of a, you know, something that's going to be crazy. Very different. But, you know, if we go in there 2-0 and they're 2-0, then, you know, watch out. That certainly is going to be a very fun game to be at.
Right. Well, there's a lot of other guys on the coaching staff that have West Texas ties. We really have talked a lot about Carthel and not about the rest of the coaching staff. So what can you tell us about
that? And we noticed
there's
more coaches this year from the picture than we've ever seen before.
Yeah, a lot of young guys, and that's one of the things that he went out and really did. You know, he's got a lot of young guys in there. Some of them are graduate assistants. Some of them, be honest with you, are volunteer assistants.
Okay.
But they believe in his vision. They believe in the things that he's preaching, the way that he teaches the game of football, the way that he coaches the game of football. Obviously, you know, learning from his dad and seeing his dad and the success that he's had. I think those young coaches see that, and they want to be a part of that because they're able to learn and then take off, you know, really, really get going in their career. And so you know, one of the things that he did, what I thought was really good, was he really kind of took his time on his hires when he first got here. He didn't just come in and I just need to, because he was behind the eight ball as it was. You know, he got in late and was trying to get some recruiting and get a solid recruiting class. But he really took his time on his hires, and I think he did a great job in hiring assistant coaches. We got, you know, quality defensive coordinator in Justin Deason coming from East Central Oklahoma, who's been with Coach Carthel before, so they're very familiar. You know, you got Matt Storm and Jared May as co-offensive coordinators. Both came from West Texas. Jared, before last year, though, was at Stephen F. Austin down there with Mike Nesbitt and some of those guys. And, you know, and they've had an explosive offense down at Stephen F. Austin. So he's really been a part of that, really seen that.
Yeah.
So those are, you know, just those are three quality people right there. Then you got Charlie Burks in here from West Texas as well. I got Wendell Davis in here from West Texas. We've got Kevin Blau, which I think is a great pickup for us, a young wide receivers coach out of Iowa State who's got a lineage of being a football coach. His dad's a football coach up there at Iowa State, and I believe even his granddad was a football coach. So he understands, been around the game, and that's the one thing that I think that if you look at our coaching staff and our roster, you will see those guys that have been a part of college football, not just wanting to be a part of it now, but have been a part of it really since birth, and that's – you know, being a coach is certainly a very different, you know, profession.
Yeah.
And you have to understand the rigors that it takes, and I think these guys certainly do that, which helps Coach Carthel along the way.
Okay.
Well, you know, you talk about all our coaches. I've even seen some, I'm not going to say ex-Lions because they played here, but people who did play here that are also, I think Danny Mason might be a volunteer assistant, and Yogi Gallegos.
Yeah.
So I think even those kind of ties help because they feel like those guys have been through it here before, and they've been through, and they want to win. And I've even talked to Yogi just in passing that he wants to win for this program just as much as the players, because he was here when times weren't so good. So he wants to be a part of that change too, and that's what's exciting to see.
And I think the good thing about having those guys, the Yogis, the Dannys of the world, is you're right. They were part of that time when we weren't very good. So they can tell these young guys, look, we've really stunk the last few years.
We don't want this to happen.
This is what's happened. This is why you need to be doing this, because we didn't have this. We didn't have someone like this teaching us and pushing us. And you need this. You need to listen to what they're saying. I think that's just huge from a mentor standpoint.
Exactly.
Ship standpoint. So.
All right. Well, let's move on to the players a little bit. First, Garrett Smith. He's a senior receiver for the Lions. He was their best receiver in 2012 with 51 catches for 581 yards. How much do you think he can build off of that this season and maybe even grow, get some more catches, more yards?
Sure. Well, I think, first of all, our offense is going to be much more prolific than it was in years past. I think we're going to throw the ball a lot more. I think he's going to be a balanced attack. I think you're going to see that spread, you know, wishbone, not wishbone, but that spread offense that's going around, the pro-style offense. So I think you're going to see that a lot. I think you're going to see our receivers really kind of start to really rack up those receiving yards coming up. So I think Garrett has a great opportunity here to really build off of last season. But I think we've got a lot of other receivers coming in, and I think are going to be quality players for us. Some of them, I think that we've talked about Tevin Godfrey, Seth Smith, some of those guys, and so I think you'll see that kind of throughout the season, and I think you're going to see, you know, Coach Storm, Coach May, they're not going to be afraid to take chances going down the field. You know, I was at the last scrimmage that we had.
Yes.
Coming right at the gate. I mean, we're going straight to the house, and we'll see what happens. Yeah. And I think you'll see that. I think you're going to see some of these guys are not going to be afraid to take chances. You know, I've heard that, you know, in the past, maybe if it was third and long, we're running a draw play and some of those things.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're going to see that this year. I think you're going to see, you know, us trying to take chances, going down the field and score points and trying to make things happen. Because end of the day, you have to make the defense make a play as well. And I think those guys understand that. So I think our quarterback situation with our dual threat quarterback that we have in Rollison and then also Harrison as well, I think those are quality quarterbacks that we can kind of interchange and really get some pressure on the defense, which is going to be a huge plus for us.
Right. Well, our defense has lost someone that Taylor already mentioned. Danny Mason is, you know, a huge
player
for the Lions.
He was one of the best the Lone Star Conference last year.
Yeah. One of the best Lions players ever. And, you know, he's gone now. How are we going to replace his impact on the defense?
Well, it's certainly hard to do that on the field. There's no question. When you get a guy like Danny Mason, you know, who did the things that he was able to do on the field, you know, it's certainly hard to place. The good thing that we have, though, is, as Taylor mentioned earlier, is Danny's here on the staff with us.
Okay.
So he still has that leadership capability where some of those guys that were with him, they still kind of look up to him. He's there to kind of help motivate them and get some things going. He's there to help kind of, you know, smooth that transition over from last year to this year with our upperclassmen. And so, you know, Danny's been a huge, huge plus for us on the coaching staff side of it as well. So we're excited to have him there. I know Coach Carth was excited to have him. I know he asked him all every year, "You sure you don't have a year left?" You know, those type of things. but he doesn't. But you know, it's certainly going to be difficult to replace him in his production on the field. Okay. But I think having him just there in the locker room on the sideline is going to pay huge dividends.
Which I think is going to be a challenge for him too, because he's so used to being out there, and that's his impact. Yeah. Now he needs to transition himself into this is how I can make an impact a different way. And I think that's going to help him in the long run too.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, the rest of his football career and coaching or whatever he wants to get into.
And I think it's funny if you come out there and see him, you know, he's out there, you know, he's coaching, but he's got his cleats on, you know, he's he's ready. Yeah. He's the only coach out there with cleats on, you know,
exactly.
He's still moving. He's ready to go. Right. And so it's certainly been fun getting to know Danny.
All right. Well, let's talk just a few more Lions players. We know that Cameron Frosch has been probably one of the best punters in the LSC for several years, and that's not all, you know, his doing. You think he's going to make a big impact his senior year this year?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I've had a chance to really talk to Cameron, get to know him a little bit, watch him, you know, being an ex-punter myself, so I'm kind of partial to those guys.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, I've told him going into camp, you know, everybody wants to be you during camp. Nobody wants to be you when the game's on the line and you're out there by yourself.
Not.
So kind of just get used to that. But Cameron's done a great job in camp, and I think is really was trying to vine for that starting place-kicking job as well. And, you know, I've seen him work hard during this camp and done some good things. you know, anytime you have a good punter, I mean, it's really a game changer. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, being a punter, but it's really a game changer because you're talking about field position. I mean, you can flip that field real quick if you have a real good and solid punter. And I think Cameron's been that for us over the last, you know, 3 years or so. And, you know, we're certainly glad to have him this coming year. Hopefully he doesn't have to punt as much.
Hopefully.
You know, as he did in the past. Because I know he punted a bunch. But hopefully we can get him where, you know, where he's only maybe used 2 or 3 times a game instead of, you know, that 7, 8, 9, 10 times a game. Because it's let me tell you, it's not fun as a punter when you're running out there 10, 11 times a game. It's that's when you know you
would rather sit on the sideline and celebrate.
As a punter, you just hope your name's never called because that means things are going well for you.
So. Yeah. Okay. Well, Lions were picked last in the LSC this year. You think that's really fair? And then also, how much of an impact is that going to make this season?
I think it's fair. I don't think there's any question. I think we're so much of an unknown right now. I mean, if you look at us, you know, we came in when Coach Garthel got here, came in with 85 guys on the roster. We ended spring with 41, you know, those 85, so we lost half of them. Mm-hmm. You know, you lose Danny Mason, you lose some of the guys that we had.
You have a new coach who's never had done have any head coaching experience.
Right, brand new coaching staff. We've got a ton of new players in there. So I think it's fair. I don't think we expected anything less. I think what it does, though, it helps to motivate some of these guys because – not only did we go out and get quality football players, we went out and got quality football players who are part of winning programs. Mm-hmm. And as Taylor can tell you, if you've been a part of a winning program, you don't know anything else other than to win.
Yes.
So losing is not really in the whole scheme of things. You know, even if you're down 20 in that third quarter, going in the fourth quarter, you know, you find a way to win the game because that's what winners do. And I think we've got a bunch of winners on this team. I think you'll see that. I think not only are they winners on the field, but you'll see that. They're winners in a classroom. They're winners off the field in the community. And that's really what we're trying to build is that whole student athlete. So
and
I think
if they're the majority, if the winners are the majority, then others will follow suit.
Absolutely. Sure.
And I think that's what we've kind of lacked is we had that losing mentality from the many instead of the few, and now I think that's reversed. And that could have the biggest impact on the whole season right there.
Yeah.
Just that the confidence to win and the just the ability to win because you know how to do it.
Right. And I think you'll see, too, talking to some of our players and just watching them on the field, watching their, you know, their whole demeanor and the way they approach practice is we've got a bunch of young guys or new guys, if you will, you know, got some freshmen and also got some transfers in here. To be honest with you, don't know that they were picked last and don't know any better. They don't know that they're not supposed to win.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing. And that's the good thing about it is you're going to go into Canyon and they're going to think they're supposed to win that game. And that's what you want. You want somebody that when they go into battle, when they go in for that game, that I'm supposed to win this game. I don't care if I'm lining up across the New England Patriots. I'm supposed to win this game. And
exactly.
And that's what it is. And that's what we have to have. And that's the culture that we've talked about changing is getting – past that mindset of, man, I don't know if we can beat West Texas this year, you know, is to saying, I'm getting ready to run this ball straight down their throat, you know, and that's what we need to have is that mentality of, I don't know anything less than winning, and I'm not going to accept anything less than winning.
Yeah. That'll be definitely a culture change for
absolutely.
Us here.
Well, you mentioned your football background, and I just want to ask you because, you know, coming from, you know, being a punter at Memphis, you were around football through college. Does that affect your analysis of the team in any way? Like when you go watch a basketball practice and a football practice, are you more engaged in the football practice because you're like, they should have done this or he should be blocking this guy this way?
Yeah, I don't think so. I really don't. I grew up in the state of Kentucky, so I'm a basketball guy at heart.
Yeah.
I just happened to be, you know, 5'11 and a half and couldn't run and couldn't jump. And so I didn't really have a place for me to play basketball. You know, I was fortunate. I didn't start playing football until I got to high school.
Okay.
And kind of my story there is I transferred from the county school. I was in the county school system and transferred over to the city school system to play basketball. That was my deal. I wanted to go play basketball. I liked the basketball coach over there better. And so I had a friend whose dad was a football coach. And so I'm sitting at home, and it's school hadn't started yet. I'm sitting at home and, you know, watching TV with Dad, and phone rings, and Coach Barkley's on the phone. He says, Ryan, I want to see if you can come out to football practice tomorrow. I said, Coach, well, I'll come out and watch. Sure. I mean, he said, no, I want to see if you come out. You know, you're a big soccer player and all. Yeah. I want to see if you come out and kick a football.
Right.
All right. So I talked to Dad, and Dad's like, all right, we'll take you out there. So I go out there. I've never kicked a football in my entire life. And so I get out there and start kicking, and the head coach comes up to me and says, we really would like you to come out and see if you can do this, if you want to do it. And so I did, suited up, and first couple games, I kind of just did some kickoff things. I really didn't do a whole lot. We had a senior kicker, and then he got hurt in that third game, and then I came in and replaced him, and did really well. Had a good freshman year, and didn't look back. And so what they tried to do too, because I was at a small Class A high school, was they tried to put me as a receiver as well. And so I did some things my freshman year, and about halfway through my sophomore year, we were playing our rival, and right before half, we intercepted the ball. They run me out there, kicking a 47-yard field goal. Nailed it right before half, and
nice.
It was a school record at the time. And we get in the locker room at halftime. The head coach comes over there and says, "Well, you'll never play receiver again." And I never did. So I stayed with kicking and knew that was going to be my way to get to college and kind of get my college.
It's amazing
for it,
so. How just
that's it.
You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Somebody calls you up and you learn a whole new skill that's you never knew you had.
Oh yeah. Like how we started this. We were just sitting talking one day and hey,
said,
let's
why
start
not?
A
huh?
Yeah, why not? Why can't we do it?
Yeah. How hard could it be? Right?
For sure. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the marketing side of this whole program. First, this isn't really planned, but you guys showed up here, and Josh Jorgensen was in a football uniform and several others. Can you just tell us about that?
Yeah, one of the things we're doing right now is doing a photo shoot for a new intro video and some things that we're trying to do on the board.
Right.
Really trying to change the atmosphere at our games from more of a from what I've heard, obviously I haven't been here, but what I've heard, it's been a really sterile environment, and so really trying to make it a lot of fun, a little family friendly. Obviously, the video board is a huge inventory piece for us that we can use, something that we can use to help engage fans in the game. So we're trying to do some things that way, from video, from intro videos to crowd prompts and those type of things to kind of get some folks going. So hopefully that'll be a big change for us.
Yeah,
we're also looking at doing some bounce houses and really expanding our tailgating atmosphere. We want people to come out. I mean, come tailgate, even if it's for 35, 40 minutes, but come out and tailgate.
People in the past have been just the people who are at each tailgate instead of people walking around.
Yeah, absolutely. Come enjoy each other, bring a bunch of food and cook it and, have fun and really, really fellowship with one another. And we really want this to be a huge, game day environment. We don't want it just to be show up to the game and go in and sit down and sit on my hands and then leave and that's not fun for anybody. It's not fun for our players either. We really want it to really have a great environment for our players as well and our coaching staff. And so we're really encouraging folks to come out, tailgate. We've got tickets on sale right now. We're trying to revamp our center section, our reserve section, with adding new chair backs. And really what we're trying to do there is every other row we're going to add bigger chair backs so they've got taller backs on it, wider seats, so they're a lot more comfortable.
Are those for season ticket holders?
Season ticket holders, absolutely. Come on out for those. We've got those on sale right now. You can call us. Just call the ticket office there, 886-5558. I say ticket office. It's a little desk over there in the corner that we made the ticket office because we've never had a ticket office before. Right. So, we're trying to cut out a hole in the wall and make it a ticket office. And, it's one of those things where – as I was telling Josh the other day, you kind of go through this and you take some things for granted after you've been in athletics a while, and you go to a new place that really hasn't done some of these things, and you're thinking, man.
Then you got to start it.
Now we got to start it from the ground up and get it going. But it's been fun. It's been a great process. And so, we're just really trying to just blanket the town with, Lions. Just come out and support the Lions. Whether you're a season ticket holder or a single game, ticket buyer, it doesn't matter. Come on out, enjoy the atmosphere, enjoy the fun. We'll have some things for families and all kinds of stuff. So come on out.
All right. Well, I know you've been doing a lot of culture change with the program. Have you, not to name names or anything, but have you encountered any resistance at all in that?
I don't think so. Okay. It's a great question. I think, anytime you change something, you're always not going to make everybody happy. Mm-hmm. I think there are some folks that, kind of like the way it was, and, that's fine. And, it is what it is. But, at the same time, too, we've got to move things forward. As I've told some folks, I wouldn't be here if the old way would have worked. And so it's kind of, it's kind of one of those things where I'm certainly not trying to take the hard line that my way is the highway or anything like that. But, let's try it this way. And so let's just try it and see what happens. And I think any time, and I really, I'll be honest with you, I just kind of went through this, you know, five and a half years ago at McNeese. There's a kind of a culture change down there too, of just creating an atmosphere during the game and using the game and changing it and making it more of a fan-friendly environment. So I kind of went through some of this. I kind of know what to expect a little bit. One of the things I told them down there is, you know, I've had folks ask me, you know, why change it? Why do these things? Well, my response to them is, well, why not? You know, and that's, give me one reason, one good solid reason why we shouldn't be doing these things, and then we can have that conversation. But, you know, if it's just because, well, this is the way we've always done things, well, that doesn't really work for me. and so let's just try it this way. And I tell you what, the folks on campus have been great. Student services has really been great to work with. The band's been great. You know, we've got some changes in store for them as well, and they've been great to work with. So it's been fun. I mean, always, you know, like I said, always when you do some change, there's always a little bit of resistance, but it really hasn't been overwhelming. I think people see what we're trying to do and have been real positive about it.
And I agree with you. The reality of it is we haven't been winning conference championships.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot easier. I mean, it doesn't make it easier, because if we had been, well, one, you might have not gotten this job, or say someone had retired, you would have inherited a job where, you know, let's keep things the way they are. Mm-hmm. But you also wouldn't have got the freedom to kind of explore some of the things and grow the way you have. And I think that if you hadn't been changing things, if change hadn't been made, then I think that's on you. That's like, you know, this guy needs to make something happen, because it hasn't been happening. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something you've done real well here.
Yeah. Well, I've got a saying that I've told my staff and I told our coaches, you know, they've got this old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Mm. I've told them, if it ain't broke, break it. You know, if it ain't broke, break it, and try to figure out a way to build it back stronger and better. Mm. And that's what we need to be doing here. You know, we need to be breaking the things that we've had, laying all the pieces out on the table and figuring out how to build it back bigger and better. And
right. I think some of that's literal. Some of the building is literal.
Yeah, it's about time. and we've seen the results, because there's so much hype. Just the national coverage from the huge logo
field,
on the field.
Yeah, the logo.
Yeah, so it's worked pretty well so far. Well, just some more questions about this game. First, how much are tickets going to cost, both season holders and just one game?
Yeah, season tickets for reserve seats are $65 for non-faculty and staff. For faculty and staff, they're $45. General admission tickets, we're at $45 for non-faculty and staff, and $35 for faculty staff. So come on out if you haven't gotten your season tickets yet. We still have them on sale. We've got a limited number of the reserve seating section still available, so certainly need to get those ASAP if you're going to. If for game days, we're looking at 50, if we do have reserve seating available, they will be $15 a ticket.
Okay.
And then general admission will be $10. And then students 18 and under will be $5.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And then what about fans that aren't able to make it to the game? Can they hear it somewhere or see it somewhere?
Absolutely. Well, you can listen live right here on KETR. The station will be broadcasting our games again. For the most part, we will also be streaming our games live via our web. We did just enter into agreement with our conference office about our TV rights, if you will. So they've identified some games where our tier one rights will be given to them.
Okay.
And they'll be broadcasted on Fox Sports Southwest, whether it's TV or if it's their live website. Through their website. Mm-hmm. For some of those games that our games are picked up, we won't be able to stream them through our website. Mm-hmm. But you'll be able to pick it up for free with Fox Sports Southwest as well. So.
And is that service going to expand at all? I know we had the streaming service last year. Is it going to be more cameras, anything like that?
Yeah, I think right now we've got a three-camera shoot going right now. Okay. We've got one up top and two on the field, which maybe it's a four-camera shoot. That's right. We got two up top and two on the field.
Okay.
So that'll be good for us. You know, obviously we'll overlay our radio broadcast on the video stream as well. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we've talked about doing, and it's just, again, it's one of those things when you've got so much going on that you're trying to figure out exactly what it is, but about recording our games that we have with our video board feed, and then and then taking it and putting it on YouTube, so have almost a video playback where folks can see that. So we're trying to figure out those capabilities for us as well, and those opportunities for us. So you know, that's just one of those things. As we get going, we'll try to figure all that stuff out as we go. But you know, it's certainly something that we need to do. You know, we've talked about doing a coaches show as well, a coaches TV show, a coaches radio show, those type of things. I know KTR is going to expand their broadcast to an hour before the game and do a half hour pregame show almost before, you know, we throw it up to the guys in the
hopefully,
booth.
Hopefully paired with tailgate.
Yeah, too. Absolutely. So I think that's going to be a great addition to what's going on. I certainly thank those guys for doing that. So I think we've got some good things in store. And I think as we go, hopefully we can get some more things going on as well.
And then the live stream, is that also going to be available for away games, or is that just here?
For away games as well, from my understanding, yeah.
Cool. And that's every away game?
Absolutely.
Yep. Great. All right.
Yep.
Then just tell us a little bit about the Lions Hall of Fame. I know they're inducting four people and one team.
Absolutely. Yeah, our four individuals, we've got Socrates Bajegas. I'm going to get that name for it before Saturday.
Time's fast.
Mark Copeland. Socrates was a track and field guy. Mark Copeland was a football player and also a coach. Rita Garcia was with men's tennis, and Danny Tharp as a coach for us as well. And then we're also inducting the 1990 football team, which just happens to be our last football LSC championship team. So having those guys back, we'll have a Hall of Fame luncheon beginning at noon on Saturday for those guys. We'll have a tailgate for them out there as well. And then at halftime, the game will officially induct them into the hall as well. So looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a good atmosphere for them, good environment for them. I know a lot of these guys are excited about coming back as well. And so we're certainly glad to have them back on campus.
All right. Well, we know a lot of other Lions teams start their seasons this week.
Sure
what do. Can you tell me about, like, soccer or cross country?
Yeah, soccer starts this weekend, and I can't even tell you
going
where they're going.
To Colorado.
There you go. That's right. That's exactly right.
Taylor likes to keep
up
with
them. Good job, Taylor. Thank you for that. They are going to Colorado. Cross country is scheduled to go to Vanderbilt for a cross country meet.
Okay.
And then volleyball will be in Arkadelphia for a Henderson State tournament as well. Volleyball will also be having their scrimmage. I think they've got a scrimmage tonight, actually, as well. So. So, you know, so they're getting after inter-squad scrimmage.
Yeah, blue gold.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, and they're going tonight, so 7 o'clock. So.
Right.
You know, you talked about cross country. Is there any word on the – aren't we supposed to be getting a cross country course?
We are, yeah. We're actually in the process. And so one of the things that's really been hard on us is, like everybody else, is just a lack of rain. And so we need some water out there so we can get that disc in the ground, really plow it up and pack it in and pack that path in. But it's starting to come out there. It's off of Highway 11, just south of the high school there, an area there. And I think that's going to be a great addition to our cross country and track program. Yeah. And you know, we're excited about that as well. And speaking of that, we just announced our new head coach for track and field and cross country. Tom Dibbern comes from us from Angelo State, who's been a part of a number of LSC championships and even some national championships on the women's side as well. So we're excited to have him on board.
What really stuck out to you in that hire?
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell you, that was a very difficult hire. One, just the timing of it was bad because we needed to get someone in here ASAP. But two, we had great candidates. We had a quality candidate pool, and I think that is a testament to where we are from a location standpoint and in the recruiting base, but also to the history and the tradition that we've had from a track standpoint as well. But Tom really stuck out kind of to me from the beginning. One, his ties to the Lone Star Conference. He knows what it takes to build a quality overall program. And I'm not looking for – I wasn't looking for someone who wanted to come in and focus on having a pole vault national champion.
Yes.
I wanted someone that can come in here and build an overall program. So when we're competing for, you know, Lone Star Conference championships in track, not only that, when we win those, you know, we're top 10 national teams and we're competing – overall as a program, and we've got a lot of athletes, you know, going to nationals and not just, you know, three or four here and there. And so Tom's done that. He's had that experience of doing it. He's had a lot of success over at Angelo. He's been an assistant under James Reed, who's a quality track coach. And so we're excited to have him. He is a relentless recruiter, and I think you'll see that in the athletes that he brings in. He and Colby know each other. They were actually track athletes together at Angelo.
Oh, okay.
So that kind of helps bridge that gap between track and football, which I think some of our football student athletes could help our track team.
Oh, look, just looking at
from a sprint standpoint, sprint relays and those things. So I think having a football coach and a track coach that can really work together can really.
I think it's good for the football guys. I think if you can compete that way in the spring and you know stay in competitive mode. I mean, why not get some of those guys out there that are fast or big?
Yeah, for sure.
Throw the shot and run the sprints.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us. We're going to take a quick break. Me and Taylor come back and talk Rangers. Anything else? And this is KTR's Locker Room.
This year, firefighters will battle thousands of wildfires around the country in hopes of containing them. But a single ember that escapes can travel more than 1 mile where it can ignite and destroy your home or community. You can't control where the ember will land, only what happens when it does. Prepare, protect, prevail. Get fire adapted. Learn simple steps you could take now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
Now you can support your favorite public radio station and raise awareness about your business. KETR program sponsorship is easy and rewarding. For details, call us at 903-513-9684 or email sgardner@ketr.org.
Join me Thursday night for a Notably Texan feature interview with Sarah Hickman.
I get to have a full conversation with you. I get to talk about the song. It's really fun. It's like coming over to somebody's house. You know what, Matt? It's people like you that make me really happy what I do. To know that you're playing my music literally makes me want to cry right now because it's a tough world, and support from people like you means so much. So rock on, my good man. Rock on.
Former Texas State musician Sarah Hickman is my hour-long guest Thursday night at 8 on KETR.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like fish sticks. Filets, I get, but sticks? Maybe we can just compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with Brie?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
All right, we are back here on KETR's Locker Room. Again, thank you so much to Ryan Ivey coming on the show and doing Lions chat with us. Look at the Lions. Got Cowboys chat.
We call it that.
Whatever. Whatever we're calling it. Anyway, doing that show with us. But we got to talk normal other sports that we try to cover for you. So let's first talk the Rangers. Now, they've lost 5 of their last 10 games.
Wow.
And they're averaging just 2 runs per game in those losses. Now, in their wins, they're averaging, 8 runs a game. So there's a big disparity here about scoring evenly in these games. And also the pitching in the games is a little back and forth. But I think the biggest issue right now is that we need a lot of bullpen help. 7 of the last 10 games.
And our bullpen's been good.
Yeah, great bullpen.
Great bullpen.
But you don't want to have to use your great bullpen. That's the whole thing. You want a bullpen that is there during the playoffs, and then you don't think about any other time. But right now, the bullpen pitchers have gotten 7 of the last 10 decisions in this game. Whether they've won or lost, they've got 7 of the last 10 decisions. That is way too much.
And those 3 are probably Darvish.
Yeah.
And I can't think of who, one more. I don't know who it is, but.
Well, a few of those decisions, of course, were Nathan coming in and getting the save, close game.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but the fact that, Kotz has come in and pitched and Tepish has gotten a few decisions as well, that shouldn't be happening this regularly.
We should be well enough off where they're not getting the decision.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And especially when we have a guy like Matt Garza and Yu Darvish every time, they should be getting the decision and, hopefully the win.
Yeah.
And guys maybe like Holland would be about half, and then who's our other one, Perez, would be that. You know, he's, who knows what he's going to do when he gets out there. But
we picked up Blackley from the Astros as well, who's doing okay so far. He's won both his games, I think, that he's pitched. So
I just, you know, lately I kind of got in this mode of, okay, Rangers going to make the playoffs. You know, we're well enough off. We're, you know, we're far enough ahead of Oakland. I think we'll finish strong. We'll make the playoffs. So I wasn't really concerned about about anything in the Rangers. And, you know, I'd look at the scores of the games. But, you know, when you start to look at it and they lost 5 of their last 10, you're kind of going,
guess what?
Let's look at the numbers here and, oh, crap, are we going down the hole again, and we're going to end up losing out that last game like we did last year?
Yeah, and I mean, guess what? The A's are tied with us for first place again.
Exactly, and that's why we talked about all those times. We said, you know, the A series are what matters. We have to beat the A's, and checking my phone last night, and we lost.
To the A's.
I'm like, you know, this isn't good. This isn't going to be good. But, man, you know, just from a statistical standpoint, we look at these games, it understands why we are losing. I mean, 2 runs per game, we can't do that in the regular season. And, you know, even if we make the playoffs, it doesn't matter. If we're only scoring 2 runs a game in the regular season, when we hit the playoffs, that's going to be a big fat goose egg. And I don't care how good our bullpen is, you can't win if you don't score at least 1 run.
Right. Well, I just looked at the clock, saw what time it is. We actually only have about 5 minutes until we got to get out of the studio, so we're going to... We're going to do some really quick previews here. Let's just talk Cowboys. They got a game coming up, September 8th opener against the New York Giants. Now, all indications are on the line. We've got Doug Free coming back, and Jeremy Parnell is going to play right tackle. But that's also going to depend on the health of Ronald Leary. Let's skip down the defensive line. We got Jay Ratliff is out at least for the first 6 weeks. Tyrone Crawford is out for the year, and Anthony Spencer is not 100% yet from his July 25th knee surgery. And the Cowboys just ignored that position completely in the draft.
And, you know, I think that a lot of these just, this is football, and it's going to happen at the beginning. You know, every team's going to have someone undergo a major injury. And I think, to be honest, we've gotten off pretty well. Mm-hmm. The problem is we look at it and we say, oh, it's the line. What are we going to do now? Because our line has been so terrible, especially offensively. And our defensive line, with the exception of DeMarcus Ware, hasn't been the greatest either. But, you know, I got to see the first game. And once I see the first game against the Giants at home, if we lose or win, I'll be able to make a much better opinion of how we're going to continue the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But I think that's a must win. I think that game against the Giants, we have to beat the Giants.
That's always a must win. You got to beat the Giants or you're not the Cowboys. And then, you know, just one more question about the Cowboys. They say they want to run a lot this year, and they did. They ran 131 times in just 5 preseason games, got 530 yards. So that's an improvement over last preseason, even though they don't really keep stats for preseason games. But in the dress rehearsal game, the most important one against Cincinnati, they averaged just 2.5 yards per carry in the first half when it was against the first team. So...
I mean, that's a real issue. Yeah. I would love to see the Cowboys run the ball more because I think DeMarco Murray is a very good running back. Mm-hmm. However, if there's no one to get him a hole, then he's not going to be as good as he can be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about preseason games, and there's always some issues there with, you know, missed assignments and everything like that. But I want to see the Cowboys run the ball more. And if it means that we have to work out some kinks and we don't do well at the beginning, then we rely on Tony Romo, and hopefully he throws enough, you know, touchdown passes where we can get by. But I think if you don't have the run game, then it's not going to take you anywhere in the playoffs anyway. So why bother just trying to get by in the passing game?
Right. Well, I think that's about all the time we have today. we really weren't paying attention on the time. So let's go ahead and get out of Matt's hair. This has been KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Taylor Phelps.
And we will see you on Friday.